Sorry, I have to get myself sorted. Thank you very much for coming along. I pray that the Lord will undertake for us this morning, and that we can continue to be blessed as we've already been blessed this morning. Maybe I just have a wee word of prayer before I continue. Father, we give you thanks and praise you once again for our God this morning. You know why we're here, Father. We're here to hear the word of God. And you know the circumstances that why we're here. And we give you thanks and we praise you for all thy goodness, grace and mercy. We thank you for the word. For the word has already been said as a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And we pray that, Father, what we hear this morning will be a challenge to our souls, but above all, that our Saviour will be uplifted and exalted and glorified this morning, Lord, that our Father in heaven, the Almighty God, the Most High God, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift that you gave for God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Could we go to Genesis chapter chapter 1, please? Sorry, Genesis chapter 3, please. I know we've touched on this the last few weeks, but that makes no difference. It's God's word, and there's always plenty in the well to teach us and guide us in these days. I'm just going to leave a couple of verses here, and it's verse 13 as we get the connection. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we're here this morning by circumstances. I'm here this morning by circumstances because the brother that was supposed to be here is not here. And Sam will be speaking tonight by circumstances. And it's the circumstances at times rules our life by what we say and what we do, and by what somebody else does. But there's one that it rules all that, and that's our Heavenly Father. It rules it all. Things happen to us that we can, at times, don't understand. We may, at times, believe that there's something we've said or done or sinned that we get chastised for it. And Scripture tells us we have to take that. But this morning, I would like to talk to you about not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but two women. That's why I read from the start. In these times, The women are at the forefront of everything in the news. They want to gain the same as a man. Certainly, the right to be one in the same job, get the right pay for it. Certainly, I would go along with that. And women shouldn't be treated like slaves or like dogs or like animals. Me and I are married now, we're about, 58 years in March. And I never treated her like a slave. Because she wouldn't let me away with it. But we know around the world that is happening. So don't think I am trying to say anything against women or put them down. That's not the point. The woman plays a very big part in mankind's life because God has put her in that place. We find in the TV, they play darts, they play snooker, they play tennis, they play cricket, they play rugby, they play all these things to compete against men. I remember years ago there used to be a wee plaque in May's house when I first came over to Northern Ireland, and it said that God is the head of this house. Well, God isn't the head of the house. The man is. The man responsible for everything that happens in the home. But he has a helpmate. And that's why his helpmate should be given the same level as himself. We're told to love our wives as our own bodies. And that's why I want to make that plain and clear this morning. But circumstances sometimes overtake us. I'd like you to come with me to 1 Samuel. And there's about a man called Elkanah, and he had a wife. Matter of fact, he had two wives. And he had trouble in the house. I'm not surprised. But we find in verse 8 of chapter 1, then said Elkanah, her husband, to Hannah, "Thou weepest, why dost thou weepest? Why thou eatest not? And why is thy heart grieved that I am not better to thee than 10 sons?" And so Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, and after she had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up in the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah says, and she was in bitterness of her soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Why was she weeping sore? It's because she didn't have any children. And the other woman in the house, she had plenty of children. And this is what she says, verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflicted of thy handmaiden, and remember me and not forget thy handmaiden, but I will give unto thee thine handmaiden a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli mocked her mouth. Well, we know that Eli thought she was drunk. Now Hannah, she spake unto her heart by her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Balaam, For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hereto. Then Elijah answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early in the worship before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramah Elakan Kana, and knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass that when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked of him of the Lord. And so the boy was born, and they were going up to the temple or the tabernacle to give thanks. But Hannah said, No, I wait till I wean the child. And we come in at verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, where Burr was talking about the sacrifices. And they brought up, and when she had weaned him, she took with her three bullocks and one ephah of a flour and a bottle of wine, and brought her unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew the bullock, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Just come over to chapter 2 and come in at verse 19. Or verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, and girded with linen and ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year. And when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Let's go over to verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. The woman, she was in a place, and the circumstances was against her. And as I was saying, sometimes things happen that we cannot understand it. But she could understand it, because the simple reason is, that's why I read you Genesis 3 and 15. Because a Jewish woman regarded, when a Jewish woman was childlessness, she was severely reapproached. Because they all wanted to carry the Messiah. They all thought it was coming through the woman. This Messiah was coming through human life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was first mentioned in Genesis 3 and 15. It's the first mention of the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings out his character as the Savior of mankind. He was to be the seed of a woman, as we've read. Here he is. Here is the first teaching. The first teaching of the virgin birth. We were talking about it all over Christmas. See, the word seed is found many times. Many, many times in this book. The New Testament, the Holy Spirit tells us that the word is singular. single out, and that we're fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to come with me. Keep your hand here, because we're coming back. I want you to come with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians. Go on at verse 13 to get the connection. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, that though it be but a man's covenant, yet it has been confirmed. No man dishonoureth, dishonoureth or add thereto. So you can't take away and you can't add it to it. Now, to Abraham, his seed, were the promise made. He saith not unto seeds, and as many, but as of one. Amen. Just one seed. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, unto the seed, which is Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2 and 16 tells us, he took not of him the nature of angels, but he took of him the seed of Abraham. Isaiah tells us in chapter 53 and verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Who then shall make his soul an offering for sin? He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. There's only one way. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins to be taken away. There is no other way. There is one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. Nobody else. Amen. If you're dependent on something else, friend, you're lost. I'm sorry, this book tells us. One seed. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we come in the door this morning, that's what we've been talking about. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. And rightly so, that he should get the place of worship and praise. Amen. And be exalted. The woman was in a terrible position. She had no children, and yet she had been reapproached for it. Just the same as you and us here this morning. There's only a small number here this morning. Nobody else wants to come here. Why? Because we preach and we teach the word truthfully. It's not watered down. Yeah, you like it, or you dislike it. It doesn't matter. It's God's word. And that's what Hannah was doing. See, Hannah, the meaning of Hannah means grace. And it's amazing grace, isn't it? We're all sitting here because of grace this morning. How amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm fine, was blind, but now I see. The hymn writer had it because he was a sinner, and he knew he was a sinner. Amen. And he had to come as a sinner. Here we're getting it from the very start of the book. The prophecy of our Saviour and Lord coming to mankind. To the very end of the book. Will you come in judgment? Will he be your Saviour? Or will he be your judge this morning? And we find that the difficulty that Hannah was in, the child was just born. It got weaned, so probably left the mother about 3 years of age and taken to the tabernacle or to the temple. That must have been hard for her. Although she made the promise and she vowed that promise, she kept it. She kept it. See, you and I make promises. But do we keep them? We fail every day of the week. In thought and in deed. Thank God we have a gracious and a mighty God as our Heavenly Father. Thank God we can come to that throne of grace. Confess our sin before him. Here this woman was handing the child over. And that must have been hard because she went every year with her husband and she made a wee coat. Probably as he got bigger, that must have been heartbreaking. Her sister Joyce has just had a wee grandchild. Just to think that my wee grandchild was taken away at 3 years of age. And she could see it every year. And yet, she couldn't hug it or love it the way that a mother or a granny could. And so this was the difficulty. But what I'm trying to get at here this morning is, she was true to God. You know, James tells us, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Sometimes it's sin, and sometimes it's because of lust. But in Ecclesiastes, I want you to come with me because you're better to read it than me reading that out. Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, please. Verse 1, to get the connection again. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of businesses, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy hand? Hannah did what she said she would do if the Lord would meet her need. And this is what she done. She was true to her word. And look what the Lord done. She got 3 sons and 2 daughters. Yeah. But in chapter 2, we see Hannah's, and at the top of my Bible, at the chapter, it says this, Hannah's prophetic prayer. And here she's praying. And you can see the Lord in it. And you can see what she's thanking the Lord for. Let us read it, but let's go for one, from verse 1 to verse 10. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. And so does our hearts this morning. We're rejoicing in the Lord this morning. My horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Look how she's exalting God, the Heavenly Father. There is none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. He's the Rock of Ages. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they are stumbled. They that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And they that were hungry ceased, so that the barn has borne 7. And she that has many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and make alive. He bringeth down to the grave, and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh the poor, and he maketh the rich. He bringeth low, and he lifteth up. He riseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from a dunghill. Ah, we were in the dunghill, were we not? To set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Who owns this world? Who's in control of this world? What we're talking about this morning, what are the nations doing? We'll sort it out. We'll get the ozone layer sorted. We'll get this sorted. Rubbish. Amen. God is in control of it all. Amen. Yep. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. And the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king. Ha ha, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. Don't forget, friends, it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that was hung upon a cross. Amen. And don't forget, he was a Jew. Amen. He was the King of the Jews. Amen. And exalt the horn of his anointed. Who's the horn of his anointed? The Amplified Bible says this about that verse. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces against them. Will he thunder heaven? The Lord will judge all the peoples to the ends of the earth. And he will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed, his Christ. She's talking about the Lord and thanking the Father for all she's done for her. She was faithful to her word. See, that's all the Lord wants us to do. Amen. Is be faithful. Amen. This hall should be packed this morning by the people that's went through it over the years. They left it behind them. And they went and they compromised in different places. Do you think God is going to recognize that as being true to his word? I don't. The rock, the place of security. The horn speaks of strength. Where did we get a strength from? Where did Hannah get a strength from? She got it from the Lord. She got it from the Lord to do the things that she said she would do. That's where we get our strength from. And prayer. Prayer. And prayer is made little of amongst the saints today. Sadly. Sadly, that is the case. The Lord is the creator, the sustainer, the sovereign control. He has sovereign control over the earth's history, and he has the sovereign control over mankind's destiny. For he created it, and man has destroyed it by his sin. That's why we're having the trouble that we're having, because of sin. But God has given his only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a Saviour we have this morning. There's another woman I would like to talk about, and we'll try and get it in before we stop. And that's in Luke chapter 1. Come over with me to Luke chapter 1. This is another woman that's found herself in circumstances as well. She's found herself in circumstances that she didn't do anything. But she has been chosen to do something. Look at verse 26. And you know who we're talking about. We're talking about Mary. And in the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph in the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came upon her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. You're blessed art thou among women." And don't get it wrong. She was blessed among women. She wasn't blessed above women. As other places have put it. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What kind of greeting are we getting here? She's thinking. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast been found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know no man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has conceived in the Son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." Get it? With God nothing. Nothing. It's impossible. If you listen to me, nothing is impossible. He can do anything. and don't try to limit them. And then we find that Mary arose and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Just come over first quickly to verse 46. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Saviour. You know, Mary was submitting to what the angel was sent telling her. She believed what she had been told, and she submitted completely. We find not only was she submitting, she yielded to the word of God, and that's what, as Christians, we should be doing. Because we should be making ourselves, submitting ourselves to be vessels fit for the Master's use. And she was fit for the Master's use, as we see here. But you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, the Church of Rome, I'm not making any accusations or anything, but the Church of Rome puts Mary in a place far beyond that is recorded in the Word of God. She was a vessel used by God. The Spirit of God came upon her, and that seed was planted. It was a virgin birth. She wasn't the mother of God. To the mother of Jesus, but she wasn't the mother of God. So we read in 40, from 46 to the verses right down to 55, what we'll do in a wee minute. It's called the Magnificat. I was looking this up, and the Magnificat is it's called a Vulgate. Our brother talked about it Wednesday night. It's a Latin version of the Bible. And I was reading, the Pilgrim Study Bible tells us, and I was reading from the Authorized King James Version, that when the New Testament was first completed, a translation by St. Jerome appeared early in the 5th century. And it was written in Latin, known as the Vulgate, and it is used especially in the Roman Catholic Church. Mary yielded and submitted to what she was to go through, and that must have been hard for what she had to do. And she says in 46, I rejoice in God my Saviour. So if she's saying that, she must have been a sinner. Because she says there in verse 32, and the son that shall bear will be the son of the highest. Brothers and sisters, this morning, Romans 3 tells us, for all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every one of us. Romans 1 and 16, and Paul says it, and it's said here every night of the gospel, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. It's by grace. It's by grace. For by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Salvation. Redemption. Justified. Forgiven. And sanctified. Timothy could say, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. No, nobody else. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Calvary is the only way. We've seen it in Genesis 3:15. That's where it started from. Precious blood, that cleansing flow. And sadly, when Mary said in John chapter 2 and 5 to the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. They forgot all about it. They forgot all about this word of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Neither salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We can say this morning that we are rejoicing in the Lord our Saviour. And you know, I was reading about, someone said that criticism, never be afraid of honest criticism. Never be afraid of it. If it's correct. If the critic has helped you, if it is incorrect, then you can help the critic. Either way, somebody is getting helped. When criticism is cruel, you look beyond the critic and leave the martyr who was with God. He says this, that you can try and escape criticism. But how? Do nothing. You can still be criticised. Say nothing. You can still be criticised. Be nothing. Same. If any man be Christ, a new creation, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have come new. Now I'm just going to, and give me an hour, 5 minutes, and I want to finish this. It says, other foundations can no man lay than that is laid without, which is Christ Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. I was reading, I get that prophetic witness. And this is this month's edition. It's a brother that speaks and he's talking about the sign of the times by Tony Pierce, prophetic witness. And it's a quote from the Pope. There I'm not here to criticise, has already been said, or say anything against anybody. But it's a statement that he made. And your brother here has brought it up. He says this. The following comes from the official transcript of the remarks that the Pope made on the 18th of November. Beware of fundamentalist groups. Everyone has his own. He says this, the Pope says in Argentina too there's a little fundamental corner. And let us try with fraternality. Now that word actually means, and I had to look it up in the dictionary because I, as you know, I'm not an educated man. It means the religious brotherhood or guild or group of people sharing the interests of beliefs, etc. Well, religion will get you nothing. Religion only put you in hell. And this was what the Pope was saying. Let us try with fraternality to go forward. Fundamentalism is a scourge, and all religions have some kind of fundamentalism, first cousin there which forms a group. These remarks apply to the fundamentalists from all religions, but by mentioning Argentina, the Pope made it exceedingly clear who his real target was. There aren't any Muslims fundamentalists or Hindu fundamentalists in Argentina. The fundamentalists that he was referring to are the Christian fundamentalists in Argentina. And in the very next sentence, he has denounced such a people as scourge. There has been a tremendous growth of evangelicals in Argentina, while Catholics saw deep declines, something which has no doubt has caught the Pope's attention. This brother says in this, in terms of Christianity, fundamentalism is generally associated with those who believe the historical accuracy of the Bible, including the historicity of Genesis and God in creation, Christ's virgin birth, the resurrection, redemption, and salvation, and his imminent second coming. It means someone that believes the Bible is literally true, that it believes that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that believes that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. In other words, the popes consider millions of Bible-believing Christians to be a plague that is infecting our planet. When they think of Mary, who believed God and believed that she was a sinner and that God would use her as a vessel to bring his son into the world as Saviour and Lord for mankind. And we see a man that's say over millions and millions of people could make a statement like that. It is sad, no doubt, that Christians are getting the tribulations that they're getting at the present time throughout the world. One thing, we have something to praise the Lord about. We can rejoice in the Lord our Saviour. We have that peace that we were talking about this morning. That peace that no other has unless they are in Christ Jesus. No, there will not be any peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. But we have that peace within us this morning. And we thank the Lord so much for what he's done for us at Calvary. I pray these wee simple words that came this morning will be a benefit to us and an encouragement to us. But the Lord has done for us in these days. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and we give thanks in the Saviour's name. Sam, would you come up?
I wait until the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Father, this morning for our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for thy word. Thy word is truth. And we thank you, Father, that thy word tells us in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, as John the Baptist testified. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fundamental truth of the Bible. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for undertaking for David this morning in the ministry of thy word. And we thank you, Lord, for circumstances, but we thank you, Lord, that thou art in control of all circumstances, and all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we thank you, Lord, for thou art sovereign over all things. We give thee all the praise and all the glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Sam.